Well, who is that? I like that. Who, can you tell me, Dave, who is that? Circa Waves? Very nice. Yeah. I like it. Oh, Rosemary needs some volume in her headphones.
I'm cut off.
Yes. You missed the music. You missed the great music.
Yeah,
it was fantastic.
Yeah.
I heard you all reacting to it.
Yeah, so it was very cool. Good morning and welcome to the program for this Friday, the 17th of April. Very nice to have you with us on a Friday. It's nice that it's Friday, and it's nice to have you all with us. So we'll start there. Let me introduce the panel, and then we'll move on to the topics at hand. WAMC's Alan Chartok joins us. Good morning, sir.
Hello, sir.
Hello, hello. And newsman Ray Graff is with us. Hello, Raymond.
Good morning, everybody.
Very nice to have you here, as always, sir. And also, SUNY Albany journalism professor who has covered politics in her past. And
icon. Let's remember that.
And investigative reporter Rosemary Armeo.
I just want to know if Alan is as sexy as his voice.
Well,
in an Arnold Stang sort of way, I think you might be onto something.
First of all, you date yourself. Second of all, answer is...
I can't see anymore.
He's been doing that since he was 13, but that's another story.
Oh, brother.
I'll shave my palms.
Oh, man, we're off to a great start.
Oh, brother. Yes, I am as sexy as my voice. Yes, I am, yes.
Okay. Good morning. Welcome. It's all downhill now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The assignments are very hard today. The news that we're looking at, I felt like I was back in school. Trade pacts and the conflict in Yemen. Oh, my goodness.
There were two stories that immediately came to the forefront for me. One was the trade story, and the other one was the e-cigarette story from the CDC.
We actually have had listeners asking us about TPP, so it's good that it's on.
Right. Yeah. So those were the two immediate ones. And then there were some other things that filtered through and some stuff that broke last night. So we'll try to get to as much of it as possible, but you're absolutely right. They're head scratchers in many cases.
Wow.
So let's get started. We welcome you to join us, and I'm sure you have figured it all out, and you can help us figure it out. All you have to do is write to us, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. Let us begin with the Free Trade Pact and the senator's bipartisan bill that would give the president key powers on trade. And as I was reading the story last night, I was thinking of the point that Rosemary has been making over the last few weeks, that this is yet another example of how this Congress and this president have actually been able to work together.
Mm-hmm. And this one's a really bizarre one because it's Obama pairing with Republicans over this bill, and he's fighting his own party, including, once again, Chuck Schumer, who is against it. The trade pact, previous trade pacts, NAFTA, for example, have been very hurtful to the American workers. And so the unions and liberal Democrats are worried that this is another case where we're going to trade our trade position in this case, Asia, and give up rights to our own workers. So it's a really interesting and so complex.
Alan, what do you think?
Well, you know, the president is going over to the Republicans on this. I don't see this as a good example of Congress working well with the president, Rosemary. As much as I adore and worship you, I see it a little bit differently, and I think folks at the progressive and Democratic positions will see it as selling out for some strange reason. NAFTA is not popular because if you can buy something in China that costs a third as much as you can buy it in the United States because we have rules to protect workers and others, then it's not so healthy. But on the World Trade Center, the World Trade idea, it is a good thing. So it's complex, as Joe and you just said.
Okay, so here's more to put into it. It definitely is not the president giving up or folding. This was his idea. He's been in favor of increased trade and relations with the Pacific area since he came in. This is his initiative. He is pinpointed this as something he wants as a legacy of a certain term. So there's no way that that can be called giving in to the Republicans. And the other thing is that because the Democrats are disagreeing with their president on this, it probably is going to lead to more legislation about currency stability, because that somehow is affected by all the trading stuff. And then the other thing that the Republicans and the president both point out is that if we don't do this, we cede the whole area of trade in Asia to China, which is not a good thing. And one final point is, don't you just love it, Alan, that the Republicans are saying the president has to be free to negotiate here? We need to leave him alone and let him do his job. How come that's not true in Syria, the Iran conflict, the Iran nuclear treaty? Completely different point of view.
Well, yes, because if you take a look at the great strategy of what the Republicans want out of this economy and other economies, it is always to have, you know, the most profit for whatever causes they represent. So they're all for this.
Yeah.
Obama, for the reasons you have just mentioned, is for it too, but for a different reason, because he's loath to cede Asia to the Chinese. You're right.
Right. And TPP, this is a very big deal. It certainly is good news for multinationals. There's no way to get around that. So you can see that Republicans, of course, would back it. They like to favor big business.
Sure. Right.
Their view is that what's good for big business is good for America. That's been their view for a very long time.
The president apparently agrees.
Unless, of course—
He does in this case, yeah.
Unless, of course, you adopt the trickle-down theory, which is what is good for the rich, will eventually reach those Americans
who are
not so rich.
So my hope—
That has not worked out.
My hope on this is that everybody here has good points, and they're actually, like, talking to each other. It's so refreshing, and I really would like to see that we do get currency reform, the AFL-CIO and other unions who are fighting it do get measures put into the bill that would ensure human rights in areas of Asia. This could do a lot of good. You could learn from the problems, the weaknesses of NAFTA.
Let's take a break. We'll come back and take it on other subjects as well. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Stony Point Center, an open space in the Hudson Valley staffed by a community of Jews, Muslims, and Christians committed to peace and social justice. Accepting bookings for conferences and retreats, stonypointcenter.org. Harney & Sons Fine Teas, over 250 teas at their tasting rooms in Millerton and Soho, and lunch that features tea cuisine, vegan, and gluten-free options, harneytea.com. And Capitol Repertory Theater in Albany, presenting William Shakespeare's Hamlet, directed by Kevin McGuire, through May 10th, capitalrep.org for tickets.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We move on to other issues and talk about other stuff in the news. And as I mentioned, the other big story, the one that came right to the forefront, was the story from the CDC that was released about e-cigarettes. The use of the devices among middle and high school students tripled from 2013 to 2014, according to federal data released on Thursday, bringing the share of high school students who use them to 13% more than smoke traditional cigarettes, which I guess is not completely difficult to understand because you can get away with it better, right?
Yeah. And this is really troubling, and even when you read it, as cigarette smoking, it's down among teenagers. Is that because they can do this instead?
Is it down by an equal amount?
No, it isn't exactly the same.
No,
it's
is.
Down the same
report
amount, then.
Also told another story from 2011 to 2014, so over a longer period of time, the share of high school students who smoked traditional cigarettes declined substantially to 9% from 16%, and use of cigars and pipes ebbed too, The shift suggested that some teenage smokers may be using e-cigarettes to quit. Smoking is still the single biggest cause of preventable death in the United States.
And the real problem with the e-cigarettes is that the whole habit and custom of smoking, kids like it. It gets ingrained, so they're more likely to go to regular cigarettes, I believe.
Sort of a gateway smoking?
A gateway, exactly.
Issue, yeah. Well, that's very interesting. Does anybody on the panel who did their homework know exactly what we have found out health-wise about e-cigarettes? In other words, from what we should have been reading from.
The jury's out to some extent.
The jury is out to some extent, although I will say that some of the liquids that are being sold, including very interestingly titled Unicorn Puke,
delicious.
Yes, would indicate to me that maybe not made of the freshest of ingredients, but who knows.
So explain to me exactly how these liquids work. Now, I've seen these cigarettes before. I've even tried them, but they're just sort of self-contained things that you recharge. There are liquids in these things?
Yeah, and it's more of a vapor.
You're kidding me.
Do you know shisha and hookahs? It's sort of like that.
Yeah.
It's sort of like that. And it's expensive. And, yeah, some of the flavors that you can get in these liquids are caramel, tobacco, and creamsicle.
See, that might be a bit of an enticement for kids.
Yes.
I love
hawk sauce.
You know, Lucky Charms flavor might be a problem.
It's magically delicious.
Hey,
right?
Have a puff.
Here's typical. One kid that they quote in the story by the New York Times likes that he can do smoke tricks. His friends have become good at, like, blowing out the vapor, spinning it into a tornado. His favorite flavor is hawk sauce, which is a berry menthol kind of thing. So I love that they found that one of the reasons teenage boys stop smoking regular cigarettes is because girls find it disgusting. Girls don't really like this stuff either. It's just really gross. I hate when people have e-cigarettes on me when I'm around it.
Yeah.
So they had this. They talked to this kid, and they said e-cigarettes appeal less towards the stereotypical long-haired stoners and more towards sweatshirt, blue jeans, Silicon Valley programmer types.
Okay, so where's the empirical data to back up that statement?
Well, that's just a kid.
Which statement?
That's just a kid.
No, but what about
an anecdotal statement on a
Yeah, but what about the Rosemary statement, you know, in which she said girls don't like the smoking? There was an addictive upsurge among young women a couple of years back.
True.
Because of weight control and, you know, thinking it was cool and the rest. Has that dissipated? Do we know that? Because there were a lot of young women.
Overall, teenage smoking is down, but the specifically teenage girls, that's not addressed in this article, and I didn't look it up. I'm sorry. We'll have to do more research.
No, that
you didn't
that's
do enough
fine.
To counter Alan
didn't do enough
not doing
to counter
anything.
Him. That's right.
That's why I like to do interviews. You get to ask the questions without knowing the answer.
Yeah, true enough.
Well, one of the other things I thought that was really interesting about this story is that the other elephant in the room here is the cost.
It is
substantially cheaper to have one of these devices than it is to smoke traditional cigarettes. How much is a pack of cigarettes, Ray? Roughly?
Depends on where you're going.
Down the corner on Central Avenue.
Oh, about
in
10 bucks.
Okay,
11 bucks. If you're in Virginia, it's $40 a carton.
So typically, you can get the stuff, the fluid, from anywhere from $10 to $20 a bottle, even $7 in some cases. And then the actual device can cost around $40.
Yeah. Reusable
device. Up to $200.
Right.
Up to $200 for the little starter kit, if you will.
Yeah, to get you going. So, obviously, that's quite a... Because one of the things that they've said in the price of cigarettes is that would deter kids from taking up the habit, and this obviously is a cheaper alternative.
Such a nice Christmas present for parents to get their
children. The starter kit?
Yeah.
I made a joke about the flavors and the Lucky Charms. It was a joke, but I am troubled by the flavors. And I know they've had this issue with flavored cigarettes as well. Too kiddie-oriented is a bad sign. But how do you draw that line as a free society? I do not know.
Well, but we do it all the time. I mean, we for example, say we don't want our kids smoking, having chocolate cigarettes, right?
Right.
Because it's
candy
bad.
Cigarettes
then there was
that
one
we
guy,
used to have. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's right. Ridiculous. Then I mean, they're candy. They're chocolate. They're not... You're not inhaling them. You should be able to have candy in whatever shape you want.
No, Ray. Don't you see? But of course, well, you're pulling my leg, right? So I shouldn't respond to that. But basically, that's a terrible thing. I knew a guy. He owned a company about and they did chewing tobacco in sacks, you know, just like the big leaguers have.
You mean gum?
That's bad stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, they gum. Still sell that.
That's bad stuff. Because,
why is that bad stuff? You're not selling chewing tobacco to children.
What?
You and I can disagree on this. I'm not pulling your leg. I think you're over the line, sir.
You think I'm over the line, sir?
Yes,
well,
I do,
of course,
sir.
We have to each... We each have to present our credentials.
Well, no, what it is...
We each have to present... Wait, Joe. This has gotten personal now. We each have to present our credentials here.
Okay.
I have never smoked a cigarette. Okay. And you?
Of course.
See, so the problem...
I had one 30 minutes ago. But it was Lucky Charms flavored.
Is there anything that would have persuaded you from starting smoking?
I didn't start until I was in college. I never smoked in school, high school.
Interesting.
Yeah. I did it to stay awake for studies.
Oh, my. Yeah. Okay, that's one of the better excuses. I'll hear that from my students next week.
But the gateway thing is very big. That's very big. I don't think, you know, somebody who does bubble gum, somewhere along the line, some of those kids are going to start saying, well, I want the real thing like the big leaguers have.
Nah,
I don't like that.
They do the same thing with sunflower seeds in those packets. Yeah. I mean, I think that's just a baseball thing, but...
Well, wait a second. You're going to get addicted to sunflower seeds?
I'm right.
Oh, okay.
I'm right. No, you
We're
get
coming up on a break, so Alan
potential.
Is right. We're coming up on a break. Alan wins. Alan wins.
All right.
Again.
All right. I'll just put that one down.
Alan
won
check
that
one
round.
For Alan.
Right. Okay. Excellent. We'll take a break. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back after the short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel for this Friday morning. Very nice to have you with us. And it is Friday. We welcome your letters. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. And we have a lot of letters. So we go now to Alan Chartok, who will read the letters for us and tell us what is on the minds of the populace.
I can never tell what's on the minds of anybody. I can just suspect what's there. Somebody sent us a note about activists urged Gillibrand and Clinton to say no to secret trade deal. Then we have Peter, two observations.
Release, right?
No proof yet that... What'd you say?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
What'd you say, Joe?
No, I...
Two observations... Sorry. Peter says, two observations, no proof yet that these things are a gateway to old-style cigarettes. According to Times article, early indications are to the contrary, but they are still too new for anyone to be sure. Second observation, no one has mentioned that the truly harmful thing about old-style cigarettes is not the nicotine, but rather the tars and the carcinogens carried by the smoke. E-cigarettes are smokeless and therefore not nearly as harmful, although it is addictive. Nicotine is relatively benign compared to all other stuff in tobacco cigarettes. Christian says, I'm sorry, but there is no way that Big League Chew leads to actual tobacco chewing. And Sally says, I don't know, and because it was something I couldn't read. Let's see here. Kenner says, as Vladimir Lenin said, freedom, yes, of course, but for whom and for what purpose? Carl says, the easiest way to understand TPP is a corporate power grab. Any company can challenge national, state, or local laws in special TPP tribunals, not only in the court system. The only change is that whatever labor, environmental, et cetera, regulation is an infringement on the company business practice. This is a feature of NAFTA and CAFTA as well, and has led to such pseudo-lawsuits as UPS suing Canadian Postal Service because it also delivers packages, clearly an infringement on UPS's business, and that's from Dr. Carl. And Glenn says, take it outside.
Hey!
Right. And then we from Jim says, recently a baby in the area died from accidentally drinking a liquid nicotine refill for e-cigarettes. And And Andrew says, fast track is anti-democratic. TPP should be negotiated in the open. This deal, as it stands, is not about trade, but about subsidies to multinationals, big pharma, and Hollywood. It will even undermine local zoning. That's from Andrew. Daisy says the agreement would allow corporations to sue governments over environmental regulations. Once again, the environmental issues get thrown under the bus. That's from Daisy again. And Rich says, companies private usually leave a town or city over low profits. Mayor Bloomberg fought over this. We lose jobs because the profits are not enough. We have to reform our thinking in this country. If it is making money, keep it open. And let's see. Ryan says, the so-called free trade bill is hurtful to lower the middle class workers. In many ways, it turns multinational states into sovereign states. If it didn't hurt the American people, why negotiate in secret? This is supposed to be a representative government, and the government is negotiating in secret. By the time we know what's really in the agreement, it will be too late. Once again, we see the politicians only agree when it hurts the people they claim to represent. And I guess that is it. And let's see. I'm going up to the top, Joe, because sometimes you have to do that again.
Refresh.
Joseph says, nicotine is the gateway drug. Cigarettes are treated to cause enhancement of the brain's receptor sites, and this transfers to other drugs, especially opiates and barbiturates. I have never met a heroin addict that didn't use cigarettes. A Swiss study reported on your station found that the smoking causes an accumulation of belly fat. Now, that's interesting. Found that smoking causes an accumulation of belly fat. I have known several people who quit heroin but who could not quit cigarettes. Nicotine, I'd supposedly 1,000 times more addictive than heroin. And Anthony says, I feel it is more important to understand the context in which tobacco was originally taken, that is, as a sacred tool for Native Americans, used in rituals and such. When used in recreational, the results are obviously disastrous. Anthony. Okay. And electronic cigarettes, says Brian, are just a nicotine delivery system intended to get kids addicted to nicotine. Nicotine is poison and is used as a pesticide. If they wanted, they could make e-cigarettes that did not contain nicotine, and that's what I got.
But by the way, Big Tobacco is moving into the e-cigarette business. They were not in it at first,
sure,
but there's such big use and potential to it that they're going to have their hand in that too.
Absolutely.
Well, and when marijuana becomes legal,
they'll be
all
in
over the place, you think that they won't be in that too? Yeah,
no,
right.
No, that's true. And I did like the letter about secrecy in the trade pact. That's absolutely true. The Obama administration is horrible on secrecy, and that includes the measures in this agreement. And Republicans again are on the other side saying it has to be open and transparent. Ironic for them to be saying that, but it's true. So
we're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we'll go through and finish off the other stories that we have to talk about this morning. We welcome your comments. Roundtable@wamc.org. Roundtable@WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Capital Cities Imported Cars, Glenmont, New York, offering new and pre-owned BMWs and Volkswagens, serving the WAMC listening area since 1975. CapitalCitiesVW.com. The Bard MBA in Sustainability, offering a once-a-month MBA program that integrates the study of business and sustainability with full-time and part-time options, accepting applications for fall 2015, bard.edu/MBA. And the Turning Stone Resort, offering accommodations, dining, spa treatments, golf courses, and a variety of live entertainment, turningstone.com.
Welcome back to the roundtable. Let's talk about loopholes. The State Board of Elections declined on Thursday to change a longstanding ruling that critics say have allowed millions of dollars to flow virtually unchecked, into campaign coffers across New York. The board's four commissioners deadlocked 2-2 on the issue of whether to rescind its own 1996 opinion that found that limited liability companies should be treated like individuals, allowing them to donate up to $60,800, that's $60,800, to a statewide candidate per election cycle. Corporations, meanwhile, have much lower limits. The so-called LLC loophole has been a source of consternation for reformers who say that it effectively allows donors to make huge contributions to candidates and political parties by funneling them through multiple limited liability companies. Alan, what do you think?
Well, of course, look, this is no surprise. The Republicans on the board, as I have read my homework, make it clear that they don't want to rescind it. That way they get to give more money. The Democrats voted for it. But then again, one wonders if they know they can afford to be for it. If the other guys are against it, that makes it what we call a double, triple, quadruple fake out. And so they sort of know that this is going nowhere. Let's not forget that lots of Democrats raised lots of money this way. I'm afraid that some of these alligator tears are hardly worth listening to. But it's 2-2, and because the Board of Elections is structured that way with two on each side, it will continue to be this kind of nonsense.
Yeah. Rosemary, what do you think?
Hello?
No, I...
Hello?
No.
Hello?
He spoke the truth.
Hello?
You know,
I shocked
just... I know. It's like, it was like, whoa. Yeah, I mean, the trend is clear on federal and state levels. That campaign finance reform, it doesn't exist. It's badly needed, but we don't have good campaign finance laws anymore. It's all in favor of corporations and huge donations in which you can buy elections. And I believe in this cycle of elections, with the presidential election coming up, we're going to really see the effect of it. It makes a huge difference. And I think it was just a fluke that in the last election it seemed that the people with the big money did not win everything. That kind of was wasted money. I don't think that's going to continue. And
in what
it
election?
It has to be. The last presidential election, all the money, right? Is that
the
true?
The top 10 donors were
I know, were Democrats.
Two Democrats.
Yeah. So I don't think it – I just think it's wrong. It goes back to Citizens United, and all of these state laws, yes, are just comporting with what the Supreme Court has allowed. It's free speech now, supposedly, free expression to spend your money as you want. And I think it's horrible effect on our elections, and it isn't going to be fixed for a long time until the Supreme Court weighs in again, or Congress.
Well, yes, and that will take a lot of time
before
that happens.
So, I mean, the changes that you're seeing in New York are absolutely in line with what federal law has allowed. So it's neither surprising. Well, it is not surprising, but it is distressing.
Let's move on to another story. Preet Bharara, the United States Attorney for the Southern District of New York and one of the most acclaimed prosecutors of his generation, is locked in what seems to be an escalating war of words with the federal judiciary, one that some judges fear could influence important rulings. This from the New York Times. The tension was on ample display last week in a ruling in the public corruption case against New York Assemblyman Sheldon Silver. Alan.
Yeah, well, if you read the article carefully, I don't think there's any question that the bias on the part of the Times is pro Bharara. But it's very important to have the federal courts looking at this. I'll tell you why. Okay. I'm a big admirer of Bharara. I think it's terrific what he's doing. But if you allow prosecutors to go unrestricted and to go over even a little bit over the line, you have created what we have seen in throughout history as sort of witch trials in which anything goes. So I think it's important that they're taking a look. With that said, I'm on the side of Bharara.
Well, he's reminding me a lot of Rudy Giuliani, and I remember being impressed with him. He had the same sort of zeal and anti-corruption fervor. I thought it was really great. But I'm not going to vote for him if he starts running for anything. It seems to me he's the same personality type as Rudy, and maybe as as our governor, who we certainly bash enough on this program for being rude and assertive. And if you're annoying federal judges and your job is as a federal prosecutor, you are not doing your job well. I hope he learns a lesson from this. I think his public statements on the leaders here were out of line. It certainly led to lots of speculation here and in the other local media about who's next and what's coming and isn't that a good thing. No, it's not a good thing. Reform should be at the level of the Assembly and the Senate here, and he should be working with people who want to reform rather than grandstanding. I think he's grandstanding.
Well, let me answer that for a second. We have given it a chance. The governor has on several occasions at least put up ethics reforms which have been dashed by the legislature. Why would they vote to handcuff themselves? So what ends up happening is that you have a situation which is not good. Along comes Preet-Bharara, and he says, okay, I'm going to clean it up. And if it means making an example of a few people by strictly enforcing the laws, I'm going to do that. So I think what he's doing is basically cleaning up Albany, which is something that Elliot Spitzer promised to do, that's something that Governor Cuomo promised to do, and that they didn't really have the tools to do.
Okay, here's the difference between us. I think that legislators make a difference in ethics law, even though it handcuffs themselves, when the people demand that they do it and say, you will not go back into office. We will prevent that if you don't do this. It doesn't happen when a prosecutor grandstands and says, I'm going to clean up Albany. I'm the big hotshot. Each one of those men you mentioned failed. And it will always fail when it comes down to one champion. There's just no such thing.
Okay, but we didn't vote for him.
Okay. We didn't vote for Preet-Bharara yet. He hasn't run yet.
Well, you voted for the president who appointed him.
President does not concern ethics in New York State, though.
Oh yeah, no, I think he does, and I think he does. I think when you look at the way the effect that Preet-Bharara has on the debate, you will see that knees are knocking all over Albany. Because when he takes Shelley Silver and indicts him, and when he takes the next guy, the Senate leader, and does it with him, everybody down the line who is on the take or who is thinking about going on the take takes it real easy because they don't want to be in front of a grand jury. So his dilemma right now and Shelley Silver, that is having a profound effect on the way politics works in Albany.
What the judges are telling Bharara is it's a matter of style. It's not that you're enforcing the law. Of course he should be doing that, and bravo to him for doing it. But it's standing up at news conferences and making statements outside prosecution of the case that they object to. And they're right to do that.
And if Shelley Silver's lawyers get him off on this indictment, the style will change really quickly.
That's what he's actually endangering his own enforcement of these rules by his grandstanding.
I suspect you are wrong. I think that his grandstanding is exactly what is sending the message that is needed in Albany. If you break the law, we're going to talk about it, and we're going to send you to jail. And by the way, Rosemary and Ray, what do you think perp walks are all about when they tip off, the press that some guy is going to be walked in front in handcuffs in front of the building?
Increasingly found illegal and banned across the country now for that very reason.
Like show trials. Not necessarily the best thing in the world.
Right. And it's unfair to the idea that you're innocent until proven guilty.
Well, I agree with you, but it happens, and it happens a lot.
Prosecutors should spend more time solidifying their case than talking to the press, and I will point to Joe Bruno as an example of that.
Because
they didn't win the case. It cost a whole lot of money, and nothing happened. Did that send a message? What's the message? Be more careful about how you do your corruption.
But first of all, Joe Bruno, and believe me, I had my issues on that one, but Joe Bruno gets off, but he's not the leader anymore. And it sent a powerful message to people not to buy horses for way too much money, in response to something. I mean, that's what it did.
Let me clarify here. I am absolutely in favor of harsh prosecution and fast prosecution of corruption. I work in Eastern Europe, where people get away with everything because they're never brought to court. That's great. But that does not mean I want the prosecutor to get up and act like, yay, beating his chest that he's a big hero. Again, we saw it with Elliot Spitzer. We saw it with Rudy Giuliani. It's just not, it's icky. Am I the only one? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
No. I do know. I know exactly what you're saying, and you're right, of course. But it is a matter of balance. I think we can all agree on that. It's not either nothing or everything. It is balance, and I think that's what the federal judges are saying here. Watch it.
Right. We agree on that.
All right. Let's go to some letters, Alan. Catch up on those, and then
okay.
We'll head a topic
let's
or two.
Okay, There's a lot on smoking. Need I remind you, says Luke, in regards to all studies which deal with general observations, e-cigs lead to more teens smoking traditional cigarettes. Correlation does not equal causation. There's no relevant data to support such a hypothesis. Anything to the contrary is simply sensational and fear-mongering the classes. And Paul, what do you think means more to these politicians, the money or the loss of power? That's from Paul. Let's see here. And Raymond says, if chewing gum sold in the form of chewing tobacco is a gateway, then it follows that violent video games are a gateway to real violence, and TV shows of single mothers is a gateway to the increase in single mothers. You can't see one has a negative, fearful effect on, but the others do not. You can't say one has a negative, fearful effect, but the others do not. If so, the logic is flawed or hypocritical. And John says, okay, I don't know what John says. Disallowing prosecutors, it's a good idea to make it unconstitutional for prosecutors like Giuliani or Barrera from becoming elected because of this bad incentive. Preet is foreign board, so no president of the United States for him. Carolyn Lee, that's something else. Preet is foreign born, we heard that already. LLCs aren't necessarily small companies, and they can be subsidiaries of major corporations. For instance, Amazon owns numerous LLCs, Kathleen says, New York Times buried the story, but I hope you give it play. For decades, our government has seemed determined to undermine the founders' intentions to keep corporate power and aristocracies out of the picture. Repealing the inheritance tax plays right into this trend, and it's disgusting, says Kathleen. I don't get it, says Andy. Doesn't the state regulate addicting drugs for a reason? Mind you, tobacco may be a special situation, but as a tobacco company say, electronic cigarettes are not tobacco. Then why isn't addictive nicotine handled like any other addictive drug? It is this logic that I can see nicotine being added to other products. I think the governor and the legislature is letting us down on this. Justin makes a very good point. One of the points overlooked in the e-cig debate is that there is no nicotine options available with most brands. That's in quotes, no nicotine. In other words, you can buy an e-cig with no nicotine in it. I have used one of these quite successfully to assist my smoking cessation. Mark says, good morning, panel. I think Ray's opinions are usually pretty good, but this morning I must disagree. We cannot have chocolate or candy cigarettes. This is a free country, but with freedom comes responsibility. It is our responsibility as a society to protect our children from companies and products that would lead our kids down a path of self-destruction. And there's a lot more, Joe, but what do you want me to do?
Oh, let's move on to other stuff, because we have five minutes,
good.
And we'll try to get to... what is that? Okay. Get to a topic or two.
Yeah.
Was that in here?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We're good.
It was your phone.
No, it wasn't. My phone does not make that.
Well, I don't know where it could have come
from. My phone does not make that noise.
That's all right.
But I liked it.
It doesn't. I
thought it was heaven.
Yeah. Really? I thought it was the other place.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to our final story, which is it's a big story, but I thought it was interesting, and that is teenagers quitting school. The Washington Post has done an article about data from the American Community Survey at the Urban Institute, saying that teenagers drop out of high school for all sorts of reasons, lack of motivation, a little support from parents, poor academic performance. But for some low-income students, the decision to leave is purely economic. Many are going to work so they can start making money to help their families. A third of the 563,000 teenage dropouts left school to work. These 16 to 18-year-olds were disproportionately male and Hispanic and ended their education either at the beginning of high school or nearing at the end. Roughly 75% of them are native-born Americans, according to the new study.
Yeah, very distressing. I've not read this before. It's a very disturbing news. There's always been a high dropout rate, but this is for reasons of economics, and they're just ruining their economic outlook for the rest of their lives and at a time when the United States needs really smart, trained people. They're cutting themselves off way, way, way before they're ready. It's very bad news for the country. We need to do something about this. Let's put money into this rather than into...
Well, where are you going to put the money?
Into schools, into retention programs, into supporting families that are taking their kids out of school to work for them. What jobs does a teenager get that helps support a family?
But isn't this a sign more of the economy? In the Depression, presumably, lots of kids quit school to help their families survive, get menial jobs to do that. Isn't this more a sign that says, hey, we need more and better jobs for more and more people?
Wow. In 1929, you could get a job where you could actually help out your family. What job in 2015 does a young kid with no education, I mean, you're dropping out your first or second year in high school, you know nothing. What kind of job are you going to get? And what job are you going to get 10 years from now?
Well, I mean, the argument being anything helps, right?
I think if your family is struggling and not making it, you do what you have to do.
Right. And we're going back to a time, and you know, a depression era time, really, aren't we? Of where that was necessary. You're not going to go to school, and you're going to work on the farm so you can help the family make its business.
Wow, I really.
Well, do you really think? I mean, that economic argument is interesting, but one gets the feeling though that a lot of kids drop out out of ennui or out of just you know feeling. Powerless.
Clearly the numbers indicate you're correct.
Yeah, that's true. Sure. What's different about this is that there's now an increasing number of an increasing percentage of the kids dropping out are doing it specifically for money, not for these other things like I hate it. And,
right. And also because and I guess a lot of this is sort of noticed because of the timing of the dropping out.
Yeah. It's way early in the I guess 16 is what you're required to stay in school until then, so they're dropping out the minute they can.
We are out of time for today, but I thank you all for being with us. We love hearing from you. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. Alan, Rosemary, Raymond, thank you very much. Have a great weekend, and we'll be back with more Roundtable after this.